Missionary Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Jim was not even 30 years old when he gave his life while attempting to reach a fierce Indian tribe. Later, his widow Elizabeth and their young daughter Valerie went to live with the same tribe for 2 years, teaching them about God and his love for them. What sacrifices are you and I willing to make for what we believe? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, calling us to put our plans in the hands of our loving Heavenly Father. Jan Wismer gets our discussion started today.
Valerie, when Walt did ask you to marry him and you started to seriously talk about it, was it something that you went into with a plan?
I think we did talk about headship and submission some. I don't remember that we had very many discussions on it. As I said, we only saw each other 5 times, and they were whirlwind weekends, you know, happy times. I remember once we had planned our wedding date, you know, once we had the date set, it was just a matter of asking God to help us wait and trusting him to give us the strength to do what we were supposed to do. Of course, I had my studies at Wheaton, and he was in the pastorate. I don't remember seeing Walt sin at all until we were married.
It was his perfect...
Yeah, I did.
Dream come true, in a
we
sense.
Didn't even talk about how we would handle finances. We did talk about how we wanted children to be obedient. We wanted to agree on that. And my mother had warned us that the 3 main problems that couples have are either with money, with raising children, or with sex.
In-laws, sex, children, and money.
Sex. And we didn't think we would have any problems. We just seemed to understand one another and how we thought things should be done. But I do remember a breakfast conversation with my mother one time after we'd gotten engaged where she said, "You know that you will hurt each other. You will sin against each other." And we looked at each other starry-eyed thinking, "Oh, no, how could we ever get into an argument? You know, it couldn't possibly happen. Or how could we ever want to hurt each other?" And so, as I said, it wasn't until our honeymoon that I actually saw that there was sin in this man that I had fallen in love with. He saw sin in me, too.
Elizabeth, you gave a special gift to Valerie for her wedding.
Yes, I wrote a book for Val. I believed that she, being a member of a generation that had been seriously confused and fed a lot of garbage by a movement called feminism, that she needed some reminders of some very ancient truths. So I wrote a book about femininity called Let Me Be a Woman. That was my wedding present to Walt and Val. And there is a chapter in there entitled You Marry a Sinner. And that's what Val is testifying to. She had not seen Walt as a sinner in their courting days. Men have a way of covering up all the bad stuff and putting their very best foot forward. And then all of a sudden the hard realities begin to set in very shortly after the wedding, and she realized that not only had she married a sinner, but finally got through to her that he was stuck with a sinner too. Mm-hmm. And that's the truth of in any marriage. If a sinful man and a sinful woman have to live together 365 days a year, there are going to be a lot of occasions for saying, "I'm sorry, please forgive me."
Tell me about some of the surprises that you encountered after getting married.
2 main ones I can think of on the honeymoon. We had a 3-week honeymoon, which was wonderful. Walt hadn't had any vacation from the pastorate, so he was able to take 3 weeks off, and we went to St. Thomas of the Virgin Islands in the first week, and then the second 2 weeks we were in Destin, Florida. But the very first day in St. Thomas, we had to go grocery shopping for our breakfast and lunch food. And I was all excited to do this with my husband, and we had shopped for my mother. She'd always given us a list, and we'd go to the grocery store together. We'd had lots of fun doing that, but here we were shopping for our food together for the first time, and it was his money that we were going to spend, and we found out the prices in St. Thomas in the grocery store were just unbelievably high. And so I was asking him as we were going down the aisles, what do you like to eat for breakfast and lunch? And he was saying, "I don't want any of this. I don't want to buy anything," because he was getting disgusted with the prices. So I began to get upset because he wasn't helping me out on finding out what we were supposed to buy. And ended up probably buying just cereal and milk, maybe bread and tomatoes. I don't remember what all we bought, but it was the first time that I saw him irritated, I think, because of the prices. And then I had to apologize to him for getting upset that he wasn't telling me what he wanted, you know, thinking that he was going to tell, that we were going to have this perfect relationship of him telling me, and I was happy to get whatever he wanted and fixing whatever he wanted, you know, and he wasn't willing to tell me anything. He's just saying, well, let's not eat. We don't need to eat breakfast and lunch at all. And then the other surprise was the amount of sleep that he needed. I was a morning person and found out that after we'd fallen asleep and we could sleep 10 or 11 hours, I would wake up and he could sleep another hour or two if I didn't wake him up. And that always amazed me because we didn't have to wake up for anything, so there wasn't any schedule we had to follow. And it was just amazing to me when I'd wake up in the morning and I'd be completely rested and he could still be sleeping. That was a real surprise. We enjoyed reading out loud to each other on the honeymoon. I read him one book, an Elizabeth Gouge book, and it was a novel, a Christian novel. And I remember noticing the difference in how we appreciated the book. It was written by a woman, so I appreciated all the details and the descriptions that she was giving, and he would say, skip that part, let's get on to the adventure.
But you did read my wedding present to you,
yes,
didn't
we
you?
Read
you
read Let Me Be a Woman together.
And sent me a cablegram, I think it was, from St. Thomas, thanking me for it, which mm-hmm. I thought was wonderful.
And I remember as we read that book, you know, both of us always saying, amen, this is what we believe, this is what we want to do. And that chapter on you're marrying a sinner, of course, was something we had to accept. We had to say, well, yes, I guess this is true, but we don't want to sin against each other. We've never had real bad arguments. Of course, we've had disagreements, but I've been the kind of person that wants to follow and wants to, I think I want to submit, you know, most of the time, and I want my husband to say, this is the way it's going to be, and you know,
as your
I want
mother
him to
would
make
say, a real woman wants to be told what to do.
Uh-huh. And I know in our disagreements, usually I've been the one to just get quiet. And instead of, we don't get into yelling matches, but I would, if I still disagree with him, I would just get quiet, you know. And when I've gotten, quote, mad, you know, it's usually in silence, not mm-hmm. saying anything to him, usually bursting into tears about something later on. When it's built up in me and I've said, I've thought that I've just had to say something about something that I disagreed with him on.
Where did you begin your married life then, after your honeymoon?
We began in southwest Louisiana, in a little town called Franklin. He had three little churches, one in Generette, one in Franklin, and one in Centerville.
That made you a pastor's wife then?
Yeah, right away.
Was that something you looked forward to?
Yes, I had looked forward to it. I was happy to be married, knew that God was leading us there. There was another shock, probably, in getting to know Cajun people. I had come from New England, and so they were a totally different kind of people. And Walt had told me all through that year that we were engaged, that the year that he had started this pastorate, how wonderful the people were and how hospitable they were. And I assumed that all Southern people were hospitable. So I had high expectations of being in their homes a lot when we got there. And the very first Sunday that we were there, our first Sunday together, one lady in the church who was a very hospitable lady had the whole church over to her house, and the church was about 40 members. And we had lunch there. And I kind of expected from then on for Sunday lunches to be invited to people's homes, and it didn't happen after that at all. And the Lord was teaching me, of course, during that year that I had to be a servant to those people, but I had expectations that they would be serving us a lot because as a bachelor, he had been in their homes all the time and they'd served him meals all the time. So I assumed they'd be doing that with us together, but they didn't. Once we were married, of course, Walt wanted to stay at home more, and in the evenings we stayed at home, and I think the people began to resent the fact that he wasn't around, wasn't visiting them as much as he had when he was single. And, of course, I was a New Englander, and to them, you know, Northerners or Yankees were hard to get to know. And the Lord had to really open my eyes to see accept the fact that I was to be a servant to them. And we started finally inviting people over to our home instead of expecting to be invited. And that was a real joy to find out that we could do that and have fun and enjoy our Sunday afternoons if we had Sunday company. And so I think that was a step in growth.
Did you find that many of the people among the women would come to you for advice?
No.
Often or
no,
like
they
that?
Didn't. I did teach a Bible study. I can't imagine what I taught that first year because I wasn't even walking very closely with the Lord in my daily devotions. I knew that I should, but I don't know, I wasted a lot of time that first year. And I taught this Bible study that was kind of ho-hum. Few of the, you know, faithful women to the church came to it. And it wasn't until I read the book A Severe Mercy after I'd had our first son, A Severe Mercy and What Happens When Women Pray, two books that really influenced me and made me see that I needed to have that daily walk, the daily devotions that I knew always all along that I had to, should have, but had always had a hard time disciplining myself to have. Those two books also taught me that when I prayed, I should expect God to answer specific prayers, even though, of course, I'd been taught that, but had to come real to me. And the verse that spoke to me, especially when I got serious about devotions, this was when our first child was about 7, 8 months old. I began to read the Bible, asking the Lord to teach me and to speak to me through it. And I came to the verse in Jeremiah says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy words became to me the joy and the delight of my life." And that became so true for me. I really began to find nourishment in the scripture, whereas I hadn't that first year. I'd been kept hoping these people in the churches would change from Walt's preaching, and we kept hoping that we would get called to the mission field and that the grass was greener over on the mission field than it was right there. And the Lord taught me that I had to be happy where He had put me, and I had to love those people that He had put us with. And so He changed my whole outlook, and I began to love the people and really enjoy the Bible study. And the women began to enjoy praying with one another as we learned how to pray expectantly. And then the Lord moved us about 6 months after that, after my turnaround where I said, "Okay, Lord, I'm happy to be here and I'm going to love these people and try to serve them." He moved us to Laurel, Mississippi.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.